Fußball, Musik und Deutschland spielen riesige Rollen im Leben von Energy-Star Tom Gregory. Er ist wirklich verrückt nach Fußball, natürlich nach Musik, darum ging es auch. Und hat eine deutsche Freundin, ein deutsches Label und geht auf Tour in Deutschland. Ihr hört ihn auch Deutsch sprechen, er ist einfach so, so sympathisch. Ihr lernt ihn besser kennen auf beiden Sprachen. Hier in der neuen Folge jetzt mit mir, Jale. Schön, dass ihr hier seid.
Der Energy-Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Hello, hello, Tom. Nice to have you here.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. How are you today?
Very good. We have a good day here in Berlin, actually.
Yeah,
I think
lucky.
The weather's starting to change. An English guy talking about the weather. Who would have thought? Yeah.
Yeah. How, like, you also live in Hamburg, like, hybridly, I read. Like, you're always switching between?
That is still a, yeah, that's an urban myth, I would say, urban legend.
Okay, straight into it, we're uncovering myths.
But I did spend a lot of time in Hamburg, mm-hmm. and it's also a very nice city. A little bit different from Berlin, I would say. I'd say Berlin's a little busier, a lot busier.
Yeah.
And Hamburg has, Hamburg's a little bit more chilled. In areas, depends where you go. Yeah. But you had a question, I guess, about Hamburg.
I mean,
sorry.
The weather is obviously worse over there.
Yeah,
and
I would
if
say.
If you could bear that, Berlin seems like a sweet treat, right?
Yeah, because I would say that the Hamburg weather is a little bit similar to northern English weather. A lot of wind and rain. And mm-hmm. Yeah, you have good summers here in Berlin, to be honest. It's underrated.
I think it's overrated. Everyone talks about Berlin summers all the time in my little bubble, I think. But yeah, it's nice. But there's also other places in the world that are nice during summer.
There are lots of places, yeah.
Do you notice a difference between the people in Hamburg and Berlin? Or is it all just a German mass to you as like...
the one thing I notice about Hamburg is there's lots of... there's lots of what do you call the was ist das auf Deutsch the wedding parties
like from England. Junggesellenabschied
yeah
like before pre
yeah you
like
get
your
a
bachelorette
lot of,
party
yeah
no.
I think you get you kind of the what the, there's the you call it a stag party for the men and a hen party for the women.
Yes, that's the like Junggesellenabschied, I think.
Is that
and
what it's called?
What do you say to women as well? Yeah, I feel like we say the same word.
Okay. But so you get a lot of those.
Can you say
in
it?
Hamburg stag parties?
No, in German, Junggesellenabschied.
Junggesellenabschied.
Wow, I like your pronunciation.
Lerne.
I think
ich lerne
perfect.
Jeden Woche. Ich habe einen Deutschlehrer in Nordengland in meinen Heimstadt. The only German teacher in my hometown. So yeah, ich lerne langsam, but I'm learning. Yeah.
Are you the type of learner that likes to be corrected immediately?
Yes.
And like,
oh yes.
Yeah? Because some are really, you know, sensitive with that.
No. I have a German native girlfriend, so she does that a lot.
You appreciate it. I think it's the best to be corrected straight away because then I feel like your memory can kind of follow and you won't repeat the mistake.
Yeah, exactly. And German is not an easy language, I think. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's I think German's one of those languages where you need to learn it correctly and then you'll make a few mistakes, but you have to learn the rules correctly. So I like to be correct.
I mean, I'm blessed with never having to learn or I never have to learn the rules, so I can't say a lot about that. But I feel like I could talk about languages in general for on and on and on for ages, but we're here to talk about your music.
But you asked me the difference, sorry.
Yes,
the difference between Hamburg and Berlin, before I forget.
Like the people, not the city.
The
obviously
people.
It's different. The city's
prettier.
You
get
a
lot more of the Junggesellenabschied.
Junggesellenabschied.
Yeah.
Really? That's crazy.
I think you get a lot in Berlin, but Berlin's bigger, so there's more space.
Yeah. I'm always annoyed by them. They're usually drunk and loud. And I'm like, guys, you know, you're not the only people on the planet.
Well, a lot of them are British, so, you know.
It's true.
But is there a difference? I don't know. I think it feels a lot more international in Berlin. You get like a lot of people from just all over the world, not just in Europe. So you'll get like Australians, Americans, people from South America, and you probably get a little bit less of that in Hamburg. But apart from that, there's not really, I don't know if there's that much of a difference, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Berlin just feels big, eh? It's a big city.
The distances are annoying because if you really have to work and live here, and then you have an appointment somewhere, mm-hmm. and you're lucky if it's only taking you half an hour. That's
yeah,
like
half,
a short
I mean, 30
trip.
Minutes where I'm yeah. from, 30 minutes, I'm in the next, like, you know, I'm in the next city, you know, it's yeah. crazy.
Is there any how does it feel to hear fellow English people, or is there any favorite accent you have, like...
In Germany or
in English, like Australian, American, English, maybe.
I do love the Irish accent, to be honest. Yeah, yeah, it's just like super friendly.
Yeah,
I would say.
And hard to understand sometimes.
A little bit. But I'm from the north of England, so we have a lot of Irish people there, I guess, and a lot of Scottish people there. It's just so friendly. I don't know. I understand it because I live there, but yeah.
Are you slowing down your speed of speech right now? Because I feel like you speak very clearly, which I love.
See, I'm not, but I went to Ich war in ein Internationalschule.
Ooh,
so okay. I have like a very, I would say, neutral speaking voice.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. I love that because it's for me, I think the British, English, Irish, Scottish,
yeah,
like,
there's so many different
are
accents,
the hardest
yeah.
to understand. I feel like I can understand Australians, I can obviously Americans.
And my mum speaks different, a little yeah. bit differently to my dad. So like I'll say, ich lese ein Buch, I read a book.
Yeah.
And my like grandmother, for example, or my father, that he would say, I read a book.
A book.
I'm reading a book a little
cute.
Bit. So it's the English accent system is a little bit difficult, to be honest. It's every 30 minutes you're going to hear like a different way of speaking.
True.
Yeah,
I think it just only gets hard for me when they like speed up so much. Mm. I was living with like an English roommate for a bit. And yeah. He was just from London, but I think like the south of London, and he was mumbling and like speaking so rapidly that I was like, I'm sorry, I thought my English was quite good, but then we moved together, and here I'm like thinking it's shit. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's really yeah. hard. Sometimes you need subtitles for certain for certain accents.
You
in
as
England,
well?
You need subtitles. Maybe not me, but I could understand Germans needing subtitles for Liverpool, Newcastle. Those accents are quite hard.
What's your favorite area in England or the UK in general?
My favorite area, probably where I live. It's really cool. Friendly people, good vibes.
That sounds amazing.
Lots of pubs, lots of football.
Are you into football?
Oh, yeah.
How excited on a scale from 1 to 10 are you for the World Cup?
Like
now?
A 50.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. And yeah. I've not got, so far, I've only got one show during an England game,
mm-hmm.
which sounds really sad, but I think of my summer in England games.
Oh, my God. This
yeah.
is how you measure your time.
Yeah, so I'm measuring time with when England play, and I'm only... playing during one of the games, and it is the last group game, so I'm hoping that there's actually nothing riding on it, so it won't matter. And then all the other games, the final, the Halbfinale,
yeah.
the Viertelfinale, do you say
yeah.
that?
Very good.
All of those games, I'm not playing any shows. So,
so you're ready. What happens if you lose? Does that change your mood?
Oh, yeah, let's not talk about that.
Oh, come on.
I was in, ich war in der Stadion, in der Olympic,
Olympiastadion.
Stadion mit mein Bruder in 2024. And that was pretty rough. So, yeah, I hope there's not another loss, to be honest.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like it's so, because we have a few really hardcore football fans here. Mm. And their mood is just so low the entire, like, I can't wrap my head around how someone can get so hung up on an external thing. Like, you didn't do anything wrong.
I mean, especially in Germany, you've won it so many times. In England, I think the last time we won a tournament was 60 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it.
You're
but
like, this
here,
is unfair,
like,
you can't
yeah,
complain.
Here, like,
we have it so much worse.
You've won it so many times, so, you know. In my lifetime, you've won two trophies, so it's
okay,
like...
Okay, sorry.
There we go.
Okay, I
spread
see
it.
That.
Give us something, come on.
No, well, you know what? I'm not into it, but I love the atmosphere in a stadium. Like, I love what it does to people.
True.
Like, they're just... all their senses are on fire. They're exhilarating with, you know, that's true joy and like true anger.
True.
You know,
you're so right. And it's the closest thing, I think, to a concert. Because when I go to concerts, I'm like going there as a musician, so I kind of can't enjoy it the same way. I know that sounds weird, but
I'm judging
it in a different way. I'm like, oh, look at the way they've done the stage. I'm like thinking about, just you're thinking about so much stuff.
I know.
And when I'm in the football stadium, especially in the Olympic stadium in the final, it was like the closest thing to just pure joy that I've felt in a long time. That was really, really cool.
Because you're not embedded into the structures as you are in
music. I don't
know
about the structures. Yes. I don't know about how the players are feeling before the game or like what the dressing room is like, the locker room with the players. Whereas at a concert, I know about all that stuff. So it's like a little bit different. Yeah.
Let's speak about concerts. Yeah. You know, you already said you can't enjoy, or like you can enjoy,
but
you can't
it, yeah.
view a concert yeah. the same. Like you don't have a neutral eye or ear,
no, yes.
obviously, as a musician. Yes. Before you give a concert, what do you do to sort of prepare? Do you have any rituals before going on stage? And what is one thing about concerts, like you already talked about how the stage is arranged and everything, that you really appreciate, and one thing you don't? So let's take it step by step. A ritual before you go on stage, and then things on stage you appreciate and you don't.
A ritual? I don't have any rituals. I'm not like a ritual guy, but what I would say is I don't really listen to any music.
So you have to be quiet beforehand.
No, I just don't do... I actually try to do something completely different. So I like go into the city and go on a walk or something random. A lot of the time we might have a PlayStation there. I'll just whack that out and start playing some stuff. I try to do something like really random. A lot of people like to, I don't know, maybe listen to music or think about the show. But I try my hardest not to think about the show.
To prevent overthinking?
I think so. I do not over rehearse. So I'll do like, my band will rehearse for a long time and then I'll come in for like 2 days. It's
You're
a bit
the
lazy,
one
but yeah.
at school that everyone hated. It was like, he only
not.
Shows up for 2 days. Oh man,
not.
We're doing all the work.
No.
No, I'm kidding.
Maybe not, but I had to work pretty hard at school. I wasn't great, but I try not to think about music before the show and think about the show. I always think if you're not ready to play it, then
what's the worst that can happen?
Nothing. I don't know. Yeah, but maybe that's because I've played so many shows. I don't really know, to be honest. Yeah. But yeah, I'm pretty calm actually normally before shows now, so it's quite a nice place to be.
So you don't get so nervous anymore?
Nervous. Yeah, but not like in the... I think when you say nervous, people probably think when you go for a job interview and you're waiting to do the job interview, or you're giving a speech to your friends and family at a wedding, or you're... I'm trying to think of an example that everyone can understand. You get like nervous and you're sweating and you're like, your heart's racing. It's not like that, but it's like, okay, we have a job to do.
I mean, there's a little bit of pressure for a performance.
There's a little bit of pressure, but it's not like, oh my God, I feel sick. It's just like, okay.
I mean,
we need to do this now.
Otherwise, you couldn't do the job. I mean,
true.
I feel like it's very individual.
I used to get like that, though. It was really bad. But I guess after a certain amount of time, you're like, okay.
I don't have this anxiety at all, but my brother has it, especially in like exams.
Oh, yeah.
And when he took his driver's test, he had to take like medicine to calm himself
understand
down
that,
because he was like getting weak knees and sweaty hands. And like in this state, I feel like it's almost impossible to connect or to access your true abilities because you're so nervous, but you're actually a good driver. But when your knees are weak or you can't feel your feet, how are you supposed to do a good job, right?
Yeah, true. Yeah, but I think actually it's easier for me to play on stage than it is for your brother to do that, because I wrote the song. So if I can't sing these songs and I wrote them, then there's no chance. Like, there's no chance. There's like no excuse.
Yeah. Also to know that everyone showed up for you, you know.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, it depends, because at a festival, you know, there's...
That was one of my...
At a festival, you're not... Not
what
everyone's
do you do
there
at
to
a
see
festival
me, so.
to win the crowd over? Do you have a strategy? Do you try to read the room? Did you like ever do any last minute changes because you were like, okay, I need to play like a more upbeat song now because people are losing it? Like, was there a situation where you had to improvise?
A few times. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, you like change the menu last minute, like take one song out. But your question was, do you read the
room?
Crowd?
Like, yeah, what do you do? Because I feel like it's a different thing to go to a Tom Gregory concert where, you know, these are my fans. They probably listen to all of my songs and, you know, they're going to be happy when I perform.
Yeah.
But if you, there is a possibility that at a festival, there's people that have never even heard of
you. Yeah, true. Yeah.
And to win them over, I feel like it's a tough job. It's a cool thing because you can generate new fans. But
I think there's honestly, there's not that much you can do. And I think if you overdo it, like, I'm not going to play 10 ballads at 6 o'clock when the sun is coming down and everyone's having a party, you know? So, like, little things like that, maybe I would change. But there's really not that much you can do. You just got to, like, do your best, you know? What can you do? I can't. Yeah.
After all, it's a very individual thing.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, you only need a half of the people that don't know you to like you, and you've already gained something. So yeah, you've just got to be yourself. I know it's a bit cheesy, it's a little bit kitschy, but you really just got to be yourself, and you can't go on there with changing who you are or like too much. Maybe you can change some songs and stuff, but apart from that, it's like, yeah, go and do your thing.
Yeah. Are you a festival goer or attender yourself, privately?
I am not. No, I've actually I'd never been to a festival that I haven't played.
Wow. Yeah. Is it like the crowds that you find repelling? Or
I think because I started to play festivals maybe like 8 or 9 years ago.
Okay. So you were kind of born
a little bit, yeah.
And once you see one side, you can't see the other
side. I'm 31 this year, so I'm not going to start going to festivals now. I don't know. Maybe I should.
My father went to his first ever festival with 72.
No way.
Yes.
Wow, I want to meet your dad. He sounds like a cool guy.
Yeah, he's cool, but he didn't like it.
But I don't know.
I dragged him into this.
Maybe I should. I'm just, you know what? I really respect people that would camp there for like 2 or 3 days. The only thing I would really do that for is football. But would I camp there? I don't know if I would camp there.
Camp?
Yeah,
even the fact that you're considering that, you know, you're willing to take sleep deprivation.
I mean, for the World Cup final, to get tickets for the final, would I camp there for a day? Yeah, I would totally. Let's do it.
Wow. I mean, I'm kind of fascinated by this level of engagement.
Yeah, same. But the only way that I can understand it is, obviously, I love music. Music's my life. Yeah. But like that level of like being a fan is... it's unbelievable. You can't understand it. The only way I can understand it is to think how much I love other musicians and love football. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, people actually just camp there for days. It's crazy.
Yeah. But it's giving them more than it takes away.
100%. Yeah.
Is there any player, if you could meet up for a coffee, walk, dinner, whatever, with any player in this world, football player, who would you like to go on a date with?
Cristiano Ronaldo, probably.
Why?
I mean, he'd never turn up, but...
No. It's arranged. Like,
it's arranged. Oh, it's
like
totally arranged.
You're free to choose. You're going to meet him. You have an hour with him.
I'd do Ronaldo, yeah. I mean, he's 41 and he's still playing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
41. And in football terms, that is like really old. A lot of players retire at like 34 or 35, 36. He's 41 and he's still playing.
Speaking of retirement, do you think you would do music till the end of your days? Or do you see a chance where you're like, you know, I've done enough. Maybe I'll slow down a bit.
I don't think I'll do it forever. Like, but when you say forever, I'll always do music, but maybe just in a different way. Mm. I'm not sure that I want to... It just depends, doesn't it? I suppose, like, if you asked that to Chris Martin 20 years ago, he might have said, or 30 years ago, he probably said, oh, yeah, I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes. And now he's like are they nearly 50 now, those guys, I guess? And they're playing stadiums now. So I don't know. If I was playing stadiums in 15 years' time, then maybe there's a different answer. But I'm not sure. I think touring, the older you get, the harder touring gets, because you just I might have a family in a few years and stuff like that. So maybe I'll just do a little bit less, or maybe I'll do it differently. But I don't know. I take every 5 years as it comes. So yeah. I won't think about that for 5 years. And then I'll be 35. And then I'll think about it in another 5 years. And then I'll be 40. So you can ask me in 10 years' time.
that's a great answer, honestly.
Or 5 years' time. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
But this year you're doing a lot. I saw there is tickets available for you as of October in a lot in Germany as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you about your relationship with Germany later, because you've also been signed by a German label back then. And it's, I just wonder if you ever saw that coming for yourself, or was it just random and you were like, did you like know, oh, German people would have a thing for my music? Or
no.
No, right? No. It's nothing you can plan.
That's nothing you can plan. The only thing is I went to school with a lot of German people, so I understood the culture a little bit. I didn't pay attention in my German classes, which I really wish I would have done that.
I think you're doing well now.
I'm doing better now, but I used to always say, oh, I'm never going to need German because I'm not going to work in Germany ever. And here I am with a German girlfriend. Half of my family is now German, and I have a career here, and my management and label are all here. So I'm like, oh, wow, that was a really stupid decision. Aber, yeah.
I love everything about this.
That's life. Yeah, but you can't plan that. I don't know. But I have a really special relationship. It's like Germany really feels like a second home for me, which is strange, because usually when you go away to a foreign country, you really feel like you're away. But I've been coming here for so long now, 15 years, not as a musician, but in general, like 15 or 16 years coming to Germany. And I just kind of understand this country, and I love it. And it's so different to England, but the same in some ways. And yeah, I've learned a lot being here, and it's given me a lot. And I really enjoy being here, really. So yeah.
So you get homesick in England, maybe, thinking of Germany.
A little bit. I miss the bread and the...
That
and
was my
like
one...
That.
Okay, before we start speaking about your music, because I have a lot to ask, but is there any German habit, be honest, that you hate? Anything about Germans, Germany that we do, where you're like, please, guys, stop, or why?
I mean, I did do a TikTok that went and an Instagram reel that went very viral, which was Germans changing the titles of movies.
Oh yeah.
But I guess there's no choice, because you can't translate things directly. I just find that it's so funny, and we probably do it as well. If you have a big German film and we change the title into English,
but we really our titles have nothing to do with, like,
I mean.
Yeah,
Kevin Allein zu Hause, that actually does, or Kevin Allein in New York, that is the zweite film in the series from Home Alone, das heißt Home Alone auf Englisch. And Kevin Allein in New York makes more sense. So in that way,
I get that.
The Germans did a good job.
Yeah. But there's this one movie, I think it's a, how's this author's name again? Something Sparks movie with Miley Cyrus, The Last Song. It's The Last Song because she writes a last song for her father who then dies. But I think the German title is something with Love Forever or something. It's like completely different, where it's like more about the relationship with her boyfriend that she meets there. Where I'm like, guys, this is not what this movie's about.
I find that hilarious. Yeah. So, yeah. But is there something that I hate? I don't think so. I mean, one thing I will say is that I've been with my girlfriend now. She is German. Sie kommt aus Norddeutschland, Schleswig-Holstein. And I am so much more organized. I know that's a big stereotype, but I am honestly so punctual. We actually arrived at this interview early. I like to get there. Honestly, seriously. And before, I just feel like she's watching over me all the time. And making sure that I'm very punctual. Germans are extremely punctual. And I find it very nice, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm like, I suck at being German, I guess. I'm always like, I mean, I'm half Turkish, so I always blame it to that.
You can blame it on me being mixed,
But I'm always late. I'm not organized at all. I'm even a Virgo star sign. Yeah. Apparently, they're supposed to be super organized. Oh, I don't know what went wrong, but no.
So the English side of me is just completely unorganized. And then,
But are English people so unpunctual?
I mean, I am. So I don't know. Take that as you will, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, speaking about your music, your last release was last summer with Vice, and it's been a while. And I got the amazing opportunity or the privilege to already listen to your song coming out, How It Was Before. And the first thought I had was like, this is a song I would put up either really early before dawn or late at night.
Yes.
Because it's emotional and it's still, I feel like with every of your songs, Grow Up is one song that I love because I can just relate so much, is that you have, your lyrics is very emotional, raw, and honest, but your songs are still so dynamic and uplifting most of the time that this combination of being like, you know, this is an upper song, I could go running to your music, you know, but I could still feel so much because you combine, because, you know, there's this cliche that honest lyrics always has to be like a slow paced song. And like, it's not at all. You prove the opposite, that you can combine these two. But with How It Was Before, I felt like there was a slight, not shift, but it was rather instrumental and rather like, how do I say it? It kind of carries you through a more, I don't know, like nostalgic thing, like driving in a car, you know, like from work home or maybe late night or something. That's what it screamed to me. What was the journey behind it? Let us in. How did it, like, how did it come out? Like,
well, the song is actually just about going back home. The last few years I really struggled with, because there's a lot of change. I go back home and a lot of people, a lot of things have just changed from when I used to live there. So I think that's probably a lot of people can relate to that. You know, it's difficult. People have jobs, they grow up, they start to get families, and that innocent childhood that you have is kind of gone. And so I just wanted to write a song about that, because it's something that I struggled with for many years going home. And actually, there were certain parts of, like, neighborhoods in my hometown that I didn't like to go to because it just made me kind of a bit nostalgic and sad. And then I thought, you know what, that's a great song, so let's just try and write something about that. And that is what came out. Yeah.
I think you did an amazing job. Thank because you. It really, that was a scream to me, like going home after work or like driving somewhere. You know, that was what I felt first. How was it before? Like, what is missing now? How was it before? How have you changed since your last album, which, for example, is a little while ago?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's so long. I feel like, but, you know, in these very, like, fast-moving and very high-speed society or times that we live in.
Yeah, I think the last 5 years, it's been 5 years since my last album, but it doesn't feel like 5 years. It's weird. I think time has just...
Quicker in
a way, or, you know, there's so much out there now, and with technologies just advancing at such a huge speed that I think that's maybe why it doesn't feel that long ago. But I think it's your question was,
how was it before, or like how was it for 4 or 5 years ago when your last album dropped? I mean, it's not like you've been silent ever since. You've had releases, but what has changed? Do you look back?
Like, I couldn't now, if I have a question, I can just go on my phone and ask AI and it will give me an immediate answer, or I can in 3 clicks. And you could do this 5 or 6 years ago, but in a little bit of a different way, I think. I think the technology in the last few years is crazy. And I'm talking about even that song is really about 10 or 15 years ago. So, I mean, I didn't have a phone, like a touchscreen phone, until I was 17. And I feel like now, some of my friends' kids are 8 or 9 or 10, and they're on iPads and pressing buttons on things, and we never had any of that. So there was a certain amount of innocence with that. It's all relative, I guess, because I also feel like I don't want to be that guy that goes, oh, it was way better back then, because my grandpa used to say that to me, and I always used to think, oh, come on. But yeah, there just wasn't as much. Kids are so smart now. There's accessible information everywhere. It's also scary. My 14-year-old nephew said to me, my cousin's child said to me, "Oh, you shouldn't drink that energy drink because it's full of carcinogenics." And I was just like, "You're 14. That is crazy. I would never have even, you know, if
known
I'm 14,
that
I would just pick that thing up and drink it, and it's an energy drink." And now, you know, there's so much, like,
there is more awareness
and awareness out there about lots of different things, and that's just one example. But I think, yeah, the world has just really changed. Yeah.
I mean, there's two sides to everything, because I would think
in that sense, it's pretty good.
Yeah, in that sense, it's
positive,
good.
Yeah.
With energy drink, I feel like this hyper awareness comes from, a capitalistic need to optimize yourself constantly and like question everything. I don't like, you know, I have a lot of friends who track their sleep, who track their steps. And
you
I'm
track
like
everything now.
I don't do that. I don't look. I do a lot of sports, so I'm not worried about that. Maybe if I was very unsporty, I would probably pay more attention to it. Mm. But I don't want to know how I slept. I don't want to know what happened in these. Like,
no, how do you feel? That's the
exactly.
That's
sometimes
the
I'll sleep 5 hours and feel amazing. Sometimes I'll sleep nine and will feel tired. Yeah. You know, I don't want to like overanalyze myself because for me, I feel like that's crazy. But of course, I know the benefits. But we're drifting apart again. Back to how it was before. If there is any. Okay, so you're reminiscing on maybe like a time that has been.
I think just different times. You know, it was a lot more innocent back then. You grow up and you have way more responsibilities. You know, now it's life is you're in control of your own life. I've got responsibilities.
Sucks.
Things that it doesn't suck, but it's like
no, it does.
It does a bit. Yeah, you've got like you've got there's consequences. There's a lot more consequences to your actions and what you do. And yeah, I think if I could do one thing, it's go back and tell myself to enjoy that time a little bit more. And I think that's the essence of the song is also about that. Yeah.
What would you like if you had to have like three words to describe how you would like people to feel when they listen to it? Ooh. How would you describe that? What would you want them to feel?
That's tough. Happy, sad, and a third word. Happy, sad, and uplifted, maybe. There we go. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I feel like I felt all these three.
Okay.
So
no, that's
you
good.
Did a good job.
Yeah, you
I'm
can feel whatever
excited.
You want to feel, you know. Some people just feel happy, some people just feel sad, you know, and some people might not like it, but whatever. You can feel whatever you want to feel and that's good. That's music, I guess. So yeah.
What are you more or whose reaction are you more nervous about when releasing music? Your friends and family, like when you first show it to them, or your fans?
I wouldn't say I'm nervous, but I definitely if like my girlfriend likes a song, because she'll just give me honest raw feedback.
German.
Yeah. So I definitely pay attention. It's hard to not. It's hard. You want to hear people's opinions, but you also can't listen to too many different ones. Especially now, like I'm a lot older now than when I started, obviously. So my need has just changed. Like I want to do music. Also that I'm a little bit more selfish. You get more selfish. Musicians get more and more selfish, I think, as longer the career goes, you know?
It's normal. At first, you have to establish yourself. You have to be a slight people pleaser to please them and to be like, go listen to my music. And now that you got them, it's like... But your first two albums pretty much released back to back.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since then. Can we expect a new album this year? Or when can we expect a new one?
Call me a liar or not, I genuinely don't know right now. But I've got a lot of music ready. So that's all I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you, because I know, of course, when you release an album, say there are like 12 to 14 tracks or whatever, how many you put on it.
Yeah.
I know these are not the only ones you've got lying around. How does one choose the songs that finally make it to the album? And good did question. You pay attention to the chronology of the song titles at your first two albums?
That's honestly, that's something I never think about, is the order of the songs, really.
Okay, good to know.
Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know.
So
but
people
I never
can listen
think
to
about
it.
The order, because I think that, it's just honestly something that maybe I should, but it's never something that I've thought about. I think, I need to put that song there because it's a ballad, or I've never really thought about it.
So you're just like shuffle through my albums, doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's kind of, I think that's the way I listen to music. So that's just probably
I mean, there
the
are
way.
Artists who have a specific order and they say, I would appreciate you to listen to it in that order.
No, I've never done that, actually. Maybe I should.
For the next
maybe
one.
I should. Yeah, maybe I should.
But how do you choose that? How do you, because I feel like it's so hard to say, okay, I'm going for this song, but then I'm not publishing this. And, you know, you have to stick with your decision and it's out. And I feel like that's the reason why there's always like a deluxe extended version.
Yeah.
I feel like it's always because artists are like, fuck, I should have put that in there. I'm just going to drop a deluxe version.
Yeah. It's hard. Honestly, it's just hard. It's a lot of, you're so right. There's 12 or 14 or 15 songs on an album, sometimes more. But there's also the same amount, another 10, 20, 30 songs on an album that are not on the album that you haven't heard. So that is difficult. The one thing I do is I'm not like a person that writes 60 or 70 songs in a year. So I wouldn't say it's as hard for me as maybe other artists. I know other artists are in the studio a lot more than me. I don't spend super amounts of time in the studio compared to, I mean, I remember watching the Ed Sheeran documentary a few years ago and he was writing like every day. That's just something I've just never done that. I prefer to write 40 songs and that's it. And then
it's still a lot.
it's still a lot, but
Most people don't write one in their lifetime, so it's a lot.
That's true. But I think when you're a songwriter, 40 songs isn't a lot, so I don't know.
I can't tell.
Yeah. It's hard to know. There's so many ways to do it.
How do you write best? How does lyrics come up best when you're on your own, when you're in a public space, when you're in private space? What
just,
do you prefer?
Honestly, just random. There's nothing there isn't a time or thing that I prefer. The only thing is I don't write songs on the sofa or in the bath, or I can think of lyrics and things, but I go to the studio maybe with a small idea of what I want to talk about, and then I write a song. Mm. I'm not the guy that will sit in the park and try and write a song.
So you're just going with the flow in the studio.
Just going with the flow. What have I experienced? I like to just spend a lot of time away from the studio and experience things, have conversations, and then go back into it and think, I kind of like that conversation. Let's do this or let's do that. Yeah. Feel a bit more refreshed. Mm-hmm. These guys that can write songs every day, respect, because I couldn't do it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe they can't do it differently. I don't know. It's different. It's crazy. Speaking about features, you did a lot with... You did two songs with Vise.
That was my second song with Vise, yeah.
How is working with him?
Fantastic, yeah. I mean, some of my first moments in Germany were with Vise. Even before we released the first song, Never Let Me Down, we knew each other for a few years, actually. So I've known Vise for, this is going to make me feel old, 10 or 11 years.
Wow, that's long.
I know, it's a long time.
It's great. No, you know what? It's great.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, I feel like it's also becoming rarer that people know each other long. And because everything's so high speed and you meet so many, especially as an artist, you're exposed to so many different people. And
we didn't rush it. Like, we knew each other. And then, you know, it just wasn't the right time. And then our careers kind of went the same way at the time. Like, they had so much success. And then I started releasing some songs that were successful. And then it just happened at the right time. And then we didn't work with each other until like 5 years later. So it's been nice. It's like every 5 years we've done a song.
It's a good match, I think. Yeah. What other artists, dead or alive, you could choose any artist, would you love to do a feature with?
Oh. A feature. I mean, probably like, I don't know, the Beatles would be pretty cool. Something like that. I know it's very cliche, sorry, but...
No, it's for the Beatles, it's fair.
I mean, yeah. Or... I think one of the like real legends, one of the real old school legends, like the Beatles, Elton John, that'd be really cool. Because that was that's the stuff I still listen to as a fan, because that stuff seems so far away, you know? Stuff back then just seems really... The music back then, in my opinion, was just so special.
I mean, the Beatles were revolutionary all over the world. My father also keeps... like, he's a big fan, and he will like... I feel like he's not a fan of anything, and then the Beatles, and then he's like, oh my God.
Yeah, you can't not be. I mean, it's like the first of its kind, so... Yeah, and very cliche, sorry. I could maybe give a cooler answer, but yeah.
No, it's not...
Elton John, the Beatles, like, you know, Queen. I mean, Queen, there's so many, so... Yeah.
And alive, what are you? Who are you a fan of? Like, what are your go-to artists at the moment? I know that changes a lot, and...
Like, current artists?
Mm-hmm.
What am I a fan of? I mean, I grew up listening to lots of bands. So it was like Kings of Leon, 2008, was that? Yeah, 2010. So yeah, it was like Kings of Leon, The Killers, just like bands. I was a bands guy. I used to just sit in my room listening to bands. What else? Yeah, Kings of Leon, The Killers.
But those are very like indie rock.
I think that it's quite a big. It's quite a big genre of music, especially in the north of England. Yeah. Indie rock music is massive.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have like Oasis, the Beatles,
not far in Liverpool. Also from England.
The Kooks are from England, yeah, but I think they're from the south of England. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make a difference actually, but there's a lot of indie music in England and. Yeah, especially in the north, we love it. I mean, Sam Fender is from the north of England.
Do you listen to any German music due to your girlfriend?
You mean German language music?
Yeah, anything. Rap, pop.
Yeah, like I love Nina Chuba. I think she's like fantastic. I mean, I don't understand all the lyrics, but it's just the voice and the flow, the energy's great. I know they sing in English, but I love Giant Rooks. What else have I listened to?
But Nina Chuba's great. It's a great answer. She's I love her.
Yeah, she's just like, oh my God, it's just unbelievable.
Confidence boost.
Just so rock and roll. It's amazing. She's fantastic. There's quite a lot of stuff, actually. Mixu McLeod. Yeah, stuff like that. I've listened to the bit of the hip-hop stuff.
Wow.
Mixu McLeod.
Yeah, you know the drill.
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've dabbled in it, yeah.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, let's try to wrap it up a little bit towards coming towards like a perspective on the future.
Yes.
You have a few festivals you're playing at this summer.
Yeah, a few festivals in the summer, yeah.
Yeah, and then your tour starts. Also, a lot of German cities.
Mm-hmm.
What are you excited for the most? What can fans expect from you?
A few new tracks that they won't have heard me play before live. And just, like a renewed, was ist das auf Deutsch, renewed, I need to learn that word, that's my vocabulary of the day, renewed, was ist das, renewal, like when you...
We say remake, it's an English word, but then we say erneuerung, like, überarbeitung.
Okay, like remake my energy from the last years, because I've not done a tour for a couple of years, so I have like a new energy for it. And I think people can expect that. Like, I've just got a new energy to play live again. And I'm really excited. Yeah. 8 shows in Germany or 7 shows, I think, something like that. Yeah.
And also in like cities like Leipzig.
Yeah, Leipzig, yeah.
Good, yeah, cool. I saw the cool.
Cool city.
Yeah, yeah I like it. It's like people say it's a small version of Berlin.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't see exactly as a Berliner. Of course, I'm a little offended.
It's cool. Underrated city, Leipzig. Very underrated. I like it. It's very cool.
Okay, maybe you can name your top 3 German cities.
Oh, that's going to cause a bit of a storm, I would say. But my top three, I've spent a lot, probably the three that I've spent the most time in, if I'm honest, which is Berlin, Hamburg, Munich.
Okay.
In that order.
In that order.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy with that answer. Yeah. Yeah. And anything else you're looking forward to privately, maybe?
Privately, I'm turning 31 this year. Looking forward to that. Another year, another wrinkle.
I can't see any wrinkles on his face, by the way.
It's good light in here. I'm just looking forward to getting, honestly, I'm just looking forward to like getting back out on the road and seeing how my body can cope with touring again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what would you like your, maybe as a closing kind of sentence from Tom Gregory, your fans that are listening to this, what would you like to give them? Or like a little note, a tip, anything heartfelt that you would like to tell?
Oh, it's getting people. Very philosophical. Yeah. I don't know if I've got...
You are good at that.
I'm not
your
so sure.
Your songs prove it.
Yeah, usually I've got 3 minutes, not like 10 seconds. But if I were to say like a little message, I would say, well, it's the World Cup in 3 weeks. So, yeah, get the beers out and enjoy. There we go.
Thank you so much.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.